Hello and welcome to this IBR Extra, a podcast from the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. In the 29th edition of our program, which aired during the third weekend of July 2020, we discussed the current state of the U.S. economy with Christine Romans, an Iowa native and Iowa State University graduate who serves as chief business correspondent for CNN. She also co-anchors the network's Early Start program weekdays between 3 and 5 a.m. Iowa time. She spoke to me from her office at CNN in New York on Thursday, July 16th. I dare say many people, certainly folks in this part of the country, they've been very focused on this as it affects them, their job, the things that aren't on the shelves at their stores. Give us a sense, though, in a broader view of the impact of this pandemic on the economy, not only in this country, but of course, globally.
Look, I mean, there's just no precedent, modern precedent. I mean, there are 51 million people who've either lost a job or have been furloughed since the beginning of March. That's 31% of the pre-pandemic labor market. So think about all the people who were working in the beginning of March. 31% of those people are not working today. And it's unclear when they're going to go back. I mean, I look at these numbers and statistics and I see every week another million first-time unemployment benefits filed. And it's just a huge hole we've dug ourselves into. And the best I can say is we've stopped digging the hole. And that's where we are right now. We have to now figure out how to crawl out.
And I saw this morning, as we're talking, new numbers saying the number of first-time claims nationwide is down from the week before, but it's still more than a million people, to your earlier point.
It's down from devastating levels. I mean, the worst week we had was more than 6 million people had filed for unemployment benefits. And the previous peak was 600 and some thousand in 1982, which was a devastating, devastating recession in the Reagan administration. I mean, these numbers that we're seeing this summer, I can't even believe sometimes when I'm looking at these reports, talking to economists and sources, and then I'm trying to synthesize this and explain there is just no modern precedent for shutting down the American economy on purpose to save lives, to get control of a virus so that we can reopen again on the other side. We're still really maybe in the early innings of how we get this under control before we get back to a regular sort of open economy.
And again, there are many people who have been called back to work as part of the reopening, but to the earlier point, still more people filing, a million people across the country filing first-time claims. And there is a point, is there not, where those people returning to work, that's going to level off because some of these jobs are just not going to return.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think there's no question that any kind of industry that involves a lot of people and a lot of face-to-face with customers and your employees, they're trying to figure out how to limit that face-to-face. And that can mean you might need fewer faces. It also might also mean that you're going to change the kind of jobs that are, you know, you're going to shift the kind of work. So for example, diners, I live in New Jersey, it's like the land of diners, right? They're putting these plexiglass protection areas around tables and between the grill and the dining room and all this stuff. So there's a whole industry in retrofitting our current spaces. And that's creating jobs, but it's also creating an awful lot of anxiety for business owners who are trying to figure out, what is the standard going to be? What are they going to be required to do? What is it going to look like a year from now? Assuming we get a vaccine. I think that big crowded events where people are face to face and shouting or singing or yelling, I think that we're going to be a little scarred by this before we go back to doing that kind of behavior, you know, full out in the next year or so.
We've talked before about the fact that roughly 80 to 85% of Iowans still worked. And it may have been from home, it may have been with modifications, but because they were deemed essential workers because of food production, et cetera, we had a lot of people still going to work. Are there certain parts of the country that are riding this out more smoothly than others?
That's a really good question, because I think we're still learning about that. For example, there was a really interesting story in the Wall Street Journal this week about how GM and Ford, they had put on three shifts in some cases to get back up and running because they wanted to go back, you know, full force to start making cars again. And they're having trouble fielding a full shift in some cases because their kids are home from school. They may be sick. They may have a relative who's sick. Suddenly they're quarantined again because grandma came and grandma has a fever. So I think that there are people who want to go back to work and have every indication, every effort of going back to work. But the virus is changing our family lives and our work life so much that it's been a little uneven and difficult. I don't know anybody that's really riding it out perfectly. I mean, even if you're in a state or a county where you don't have very many cases, say you're sending your kid to Canada for college in the fall, well, the Canadian border is closed. So now that's disrupted your life. There's just so many ways that it's still disrupting regular life.
And we talk a lot about schools in the fall. We talk about athletic teams, but yet we have certain cities and certain states that have quarantine lists. So if somebody is coming in from another state, well, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So how is an athletic team, for example, from one state going to travel without then having to quarantine? I mean, again, this is just going to alter how we do business. I suppose that allows for some entrepreneurial spirit, though, doesn't it? Much like the way you mentioned with plexiglass dividers, et cetera.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, there are people who are out there trying to figure out how to make it work in the COVID pandemic. But there are things like cruise lines and air travel and any kind of leisure and hospitality, any kind of big venue with lots of people crowded together, bars and restaurants. These things are really, they're designed to have people close together. That's the entire experience. And that's exactly what spreads the virus and will hold back the economy if we don't get it under control. So for those areas, I'm really concerned about what recovery is going to look like and how long it's going to take. And I'm worried about the workers in those fields. There will be fewer of them, I think, on the other side.
You've got certain industries that are just going to be decimated for some time to come and their workers. Are there other segments of the economy that are really bearing the brunt of this? Obviously, the travel industry, tourism industry, but are there others?
It's travel, it's tourism, it's retail. I mean, retail has really been upended here. Yet, you look at Amazon and you look at Netflix and you look at some of these other sort of pandemic havens that have done so well. You look at the stock market. The stock market has been fine this summer, in part because of all the stimulus from the Fed and from Congress. So you do really have sort of haves and have-nots in this economy. And the have-nots, unfortunately, are low-wage workers, not a lot of safety net. They're also essential workers. So they've been hit twice here. One, they're hit because they're more likely to lose their job. Second, they're hit in some cases because they're made to go back to the job. If you work in a grocery store, for example, or a meatpacking plant, and you can be exposed to the virus. So it's a very dangerous and anxiety-ridden moment, I think.
For lack of a better phrase, I'm going to say supply chain. But okay. I've been told it isn't exactly the supply chain per se. It was more consumer demand shifting when this all happened, when grocery store shelves and big box store shelves all of a sudden were empty. Are we anticipating another round of that in the event that as the weather turns colder, which apparently isn't a factor as we thought it might be, but as this may ramp up again, are we going to worry about people hoarding toilet paper and cans of soup and that sort of thing?
Wasn't that fascinating to watch human behavior and sort of a crowd psychology? And you could watch it changing through the spring. We actually talked to some of the executives at Walmart about where we were in the pandemic phase. And it was toilet paper. Then it was puzzles. Then it was trampolines. And then there was a shortage of hot tubs and boats, you know, as people realized they were going into the summer and they were trying to, you know, get away and do something else. I don't know what the next sort of consumer quirk will be, but I'm sure there'll be one because we're sort of rewriting the rules of consumption and retail here. And we're not spending money on things like plane tickets and we're staying home so much more that, you know, for example, an Xbox, all of a sudden, you know, the stores could open again, retail stores could open again, and you couldn't get your hands on a new Xbox in this country or this new Switch device, you know, so people are buying video games and consoles and they're binging on Netflix and they're spending money in their behavior in different ways. I don't know what the next consumer move on that is. I wish I did because I'm sure that there's an investment play there. But it has been really interesting to watch how people have behaved.
They tend to, at least here in Iowa, which you obviously know well,
You can't buy a can of cream of mushroom soup for a while to save your life because everybody was making casseroles and comfort food and these sorts of things. And so it was just fascinating to go to a store and see, well, now why is that shelf empty? That doesn't make sense. And you have to try to put it all together. Let me ask you lastly, because again, if we can't think of what the next big thing will be to invest in, what should people do? Because we obviously have an election year and that causes a lot of consternation. But if people are sitting there and saying, all right, what's the best thing I ought to do to protect myself and my family? What are a few thoughts?
I'm so glad you asked that because I paint this picture of gloom and doom with this 51 million people who have filed for unemployment benefits. And yet I talk to people, especially young people, who tell me for the first time ever, they're able to pay a little bit more than the minimum on their student loans because they have a $600 extra a week in their unemployment benefits from stimulus. Congress did that on purpose. I talked to a couple of people who are not getting, having a big, humongous wedding. Instead, now they're looking to buy property. They're using the wedding money as a down payment on a home. So there are people who do see this disruption as a way to really kind of consolidate, take a look at what your debt situation is, pay down your debt. You know, interest rates are so cheap here too. Refinance your home if you need to. I mean, 30-year rates are almost free for mortgage money. You know, find those things that you can, these levers that you can pull in a pandemic and try to improve your position. I also keep telling people, you know, you have to live below your means. I say that all the time. People look at me like I'm crazy. But in some cases, that $600 extra a week in the unemployment benefits allows people for the first time ever to put a little bit of money away. And so I think that's really important, not to spend your money, but figure out how to save and grow your money. And no matter what's happening, that should be our mindset.
What great insight. Thanks so much for the conversation. I appreciate it.
Nice to see you. Thanks.
Emmy Award-winning journalist and Iowa native Christine Romans, chief business correspondent for CNN. We spoke on Thursday, July 16th. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry is a supporter of the Iowa Business Report radio program and podcast. The Iowa Business Report airs weekly on dozens of radio stations across the state of Iowa, with the podcast posted right here every week, along with additional IBR extras and IBR business profiles. I'm Jeff Stein for the Iowa Business Report.